is the time to tell of the unaccountable, of apparitions by night and phantoms in shadow. Time to tell strange tales of fantasy and the supernatural. Mystery Theater presents The Hitchhiker by Alan King.
The stretch of road between Bainville and Bowdoin is about 15 miles. I used to drive over it about once a month.
By Alan King.
The stretch of road between Bainville and Bowdoin is about 15 miles. I used to drive over it about once a month with George Kirby. George was supervisor for the J.K. Landon Land Company, and we used to make a monthly inspection trip over his territory. We usually worked it so that we ran into Bowdoin at night. It isn't a big town, but there's a good hotel there, and we could always make it back to our hometown before dark the next day. We would take turns driving. When George was driving, sometimes I'd sit with him. If I was pretty tired, maybe I'd move into the back seat and sleep for a while. This particular night, about 6 months ago, he was driving and I was sitting in the front. It was a poor sort of night. It had been raining and there were patches of mist that came at you when you least expected them. I'd been telling George what a farmer I'd met. This'll kill you. The guy looks me right in the eye and says, "Boy, you won't sell me one of those things. I invented one myself 10 years ago."
Did you see it work?
Sure, he showed me. You should have heard the noise. Sounded more like a young threshing machine.
You gotta hand it to those farmers. You know, those guys can make anything and fix anything. Well, I remember one once in Indiana someplace.
George, yeah, look out! There's someone in the...
Where? Oh!
Quick.
Where is he?
He must be underneath.
I hit him, I know that. Yeah, he's underneath. Looks like he's wedged under the crankcase.
Well, is he alive?
Oh, no. Are you hurt badly? Can you move? Must be knocked out. Wait, I see.
His legs are clear.
I think we can get him out. Tell you what, son. Get in. Put the car below him. Ease her forward when I tell you.
Okay, George.
But easy, son. Go very, very slow.
We got him out. I'm not sure if he was alive. His face was all mucked up with gravel and oil. But he was dead when we got to Bowdoin. We talked to the police. There was an inquest later. George wasn't held. It was an accident. George Kirby and I went about our business.
I'm Larry Mason. I'm a salesman. I drive that stretch of road between Bainville and Bowdoin once a week. In one place, you come to a curve where there's a sort of ravine on one side and quite a drop on the other. It's not dangerous. There's a good, strong guardrail, clearly marked. The locals just call it the Gap. This night, a few weeks ago, I was driving alone, just coming to the Gap, when I saw somebody ahead of me at the side of the road. It was a man giving me the thumb. I pulled up and opened the door.
Want a lift?
Thank you.
Come on in. Going down to Bowdoin?
Yes.
Be there in 10 minutes. Don't often see anybody around here at night. A cigarette?
No. Thank you.
Think I'll have one.
Don't blow that light out.
Huh?
Hold it there a moment.
What's the matter? Why are you looking at me like that?
It's all right. You can put it out now.
Well, thanks.
What is your name?
Larry Mason. Why?
You're not the man.
I'm not what man?
I'll know him when I see him.
Well, who is this man? What do you want him for?
He killed someone.
Killed someone?
It was here, on this road. He ran him down and killed him.
Oh, an accident.
He said he wasn't to blame, but he was driving the car. The man was just standing there, hitching a ride, just as I hitched a ride with you.
Well, maybe it was foggy or something.
A driver should be careful in a mist.
Look, suppose you find this guy, what are you going to do?
Kill him.
Now, wait a minute. You can't go around killing people like that. They said it wasn't his fault, didn't they?
Yes, but I know better. I will find him.
I didn't like it. I was sure the guy was batty. Anyway, he didn't say any more then. He seemed to shrink back in his seat, almost as if he wasn't there. I stepped on it. The sooner I got to Bowdoin, the better I'd like it. But just as we were pulling up, I spoke to him again. Look, about this guy you say you're looking for.
Yes.
You're not really going to kill him, are you?
Yes, I am.
But why?
Because he killed me.
What?
I'm the man he ran over in his car and killed.
Whether the door on his side opened or not, I haven't any idea. But I do know that suddenly he was gone. I just sat there. I lit a cigarette and kept telling myself the guy hadn't been in the car. He hadn't talked to me. And all the time I knew I didn't know what I knew. I threw the cigarette away and went in for a coffee. Biddy Kirk was behind the counter with the usual grin all over her fat face.
Hiya, Larry.
Hi, Biddy.
Coffee?
Yeah.
And what else? We got some nice... Hey, what's the matter with you? You look like you want something stronger than coffee.
Coffee will do. Nothing to eat.
Hey, you sick or something?
No, I'm not sick.
Okay. Here you are. Here's your coffee.
Thanks.
Look, are you sure you're okay? You don't look very good.
I'm okay. Say, Biddy.
Yeah?
Do you remember about... Oh, I guess it must have been a few months ago. There was a bat...
Hi, Biddy!
Jack!
Larry.
Hi.
How's the coffee tonight, Biddy?
Strong enough for you.
Swell.
Coming up. Anything to eat?
I don't know. I'll drink the coffee first.
Okay. Here. Well, call me if you want something. Gotta get back in the kitchen and get some sandwiches made.
You just drive in from Bainville?
Yeah. Why?
Well, I just wondered.
What's on your mind? Lose a big order or something?
No, I... Well, I gave a guy a lift down here.
So what? So did I. Do it all the time. What's new about that?
There's something funny about the guy. I picked him up just the other side of the gap. Gave me the creeps.
Wait a minute. What'd this guy look like?
Oh, pale sort of hair, dead-looking, grayish sort of face.
Yeah? Go on.
He talked about an accident. I lit a cigarette, and he sort of peered into my face when I struck the match. And then he said, I wasn't the guy he was looking for, or something like that.
Where did you drop him?
I brought him right into Bowdoin. Stopped the car, and he was gone, just like that.
Larry, I picked up that guy myself. Just the other side of the gap.
I shouted at him. It wasn't the same man. He was kidding me. It wasn't possible. But the description tallied. The only difference was he'd only ridden a couple of miles with Chuck and hadn't said anything about the accident.
Accident? What accident?
I'll tell you in a minute. First of all, when I'd brought him into Bowdoin, how did he get back to the other side of the gap in time for you to pick him up? You were right behind me.
He couldn't. Not unless he's got a twin brother. Or unless he's a ghost who likes hitching rides.
Yeah. That's about the only explanation.
Hey, what is this? You trying to tell me you believe...
Just a minute, chum. Biddy?
Yeah? Getting hungry out there?
Can you come out a minute?
Sure. Now, what'll it be? Corned beef on rye?
Biddy,
I want you to tell me something. Can you remember an accident between here and Bainville?
Oh, I can remember plenty of them.
Oh, yes, I know, but this one... Well, I don't know the name of the man who was driving. I don't even know when it was, but he hit a hitchhiker.
A hitchhiker?
Can you remember it, Biddy?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, that was George Kirby. He was driving, not very long ago. And Sam Henderson was with him. Yeah, they have the inquest up in Bainville. Yeah. It was a misty night, I remember. George said at the inquest he couldn't see very well, and he hit this guy before he even saw him.
Who was the guy he hit? Do you know?
Oh, he lived up by the gap. No, I didn't really know him. Seen him in here a couple of times. He was a writer or something. What's all this about?
What did he look like?
Pale sort of guy. Looked like he needed a good meal. Kind of mousy-colored hair.
That sounds like...
What sort of a voice had he?
Oh, I don't remember. Yeah, kind of quiet and slow, I think.
That's what I wanted to know. Okay, thanks, Biddy.
Anything to oblige. I guess I'll go back to my sandwiches. Give me a shot when you're hungry.
Okay.
Come on, Larry. What is all this?
Chuck, the guy you and I picked up is the guy George Kirby ran over and killed.
Are you out of your mind, Larry? He's dead.
Dead or not, the guy I picked up looked right into my face and said he was after the guy who ran him down and killed him. And
when you're making this up.
And when he found this man, he was going to kill him. I don't know how long we sat there arguing it out. In the end, we didn't know whether we were sane or crazy. We had all the facts. They'd only fit into one pattern. And that pattern was impossible. In the end, we did come to one conclusion.
It seems to me, whatever way you look at it, this George Kirby may be in danger.
Yeah, but from what? Or from whom?
Somebody's threatening him. Or trying to scare him.
Somebody pretending to be a ghost.
It must be two people pretending to be a ghost. There's one thing certain. The man you picked up tonight can't be the same man I picked up. It's not physically possible.
Chuck, I don't believe in ghosts any more than you do. But what happened tonight can't be explained.
Can. It must be.
Well?
Maybe these two men we picked up were twins.
Triplets. The third one was the guy who was killed. Well, that's fantastic.
Is a ghost any less fantastic?
No, but... Well, anyway, we've got to warn this guy, Kirby, that someone's after him.
We don't even know him.
Oh, we can leave a message with Biddy. Give her a shout. I want something to eat anyway.
Well, Biddy, how about a sandwich?
Ah, getting hungry now, eh?
Yeah. Give me a corned beef and rye and a dill. And another cup of coffee.
And how about you, Larry?
That'll do for me, too, I guess. And, Biddy?
Yeah?
Will you be seeing this George Kirby sometime?
Don't guess so. He comes in pretty regular.
Could you give him a message?
Sure. What is it?
Well, just tell him that... Well, we found out that somebody's threatening him, see?
Threatening him? Who is?
Well, we don't quite know.
Tell him not to pick up anybody between here and Bainville.
I don't get it.
It's all right, Biddy. He's in danger. And we don't know him, so the only thing we can do is leave the message with you.
Well, I'll tell him. But he'll probably laugh in my face.
Well, maybe he will. But tell him anyway, see?
What's the matter with you, Biddy? Something on your mind?
Yeah, I got a message for you, George.
Message?
Too bad you weren't in a week ago. The guys could have told you themselves.
What guys?
Oh, Larry Mason and Chuck Reynolds.
Never heard of them.
Well, they left this message anyways. Said to tell you somebody's threatening you.
Threatening me?
Yeah. And to not pick anybody up between here and Bainville.
What's this, a gag?
Well, I don't know. I tell you, George, I don't know what it's all about.
Well, who was threatening me?
Well, I didn't hear much because I was back in the kitchen. But they did ask me about that accident you had. Asked a lot of questions
about it. Well, it was an accident. They said so at the inquest.
Yeah, George, I know that.
Nobody's got any right to rake that up and threaten me.
Sure, George. It wasn't your fault. We know
it wasn't, you hear? It wasn't my fault. Who's this Larry Mason and Chuck, whatever his name is anyway? I don't know them. What right have they got to come around?
Now, don't get excited. They wasn't threatening you. They said somebody else was.
Yeah? I'll bet they're trying to put a scare into me or something. Well, you can tell them from me. They can keep their trap shut or there'll be trouble.
The next time I saw Biddy, I heard how George Kirby had taken the warning. That's what you get for trying to help somebody. Anyway, I'd done what I could. And as the days went by, I began to feel as though I'd dreamed the whole thing. It was all too fantastic. Then one day I met George Kirby face to face. I'd gone to Indianapolis for a sales meeting. And I was sitting in the hotel lobby after dinner when a big man came up to me looking full of fight.
Are you Larry Mason?
Yes.
I'm George Kirby. I want to talk to you.
George Kirby?
Yeah. I just want to tell you, I don't like being threatened.
Now, look, I wasn't...
I got your message. I don't like that sort of thing.
Don't be a fool. I'm not threatening you.
Sounds like it to me.
Listen. I picked up a guy between Bainville and Bowdoin. He looked me over carefully, asked my name, and then said I wasn't the guy he was looking for. But then he said he was looking for the man who killed somebody in an accident on that road not long before.
Go on.
He said when he found that man, he was going to kill him.
Is that all?
I figured he was a kind of a nut. He tried to make out he was the man who was killed.
I'm supposed to believe all this?
I don't care whether you believe it or not. But I'll tell you this. That same night, a friend of mine picked up the same man. And we both talked it over and decided the least we could do was to warn you.
Thanks.
Well, we figured maybe the man you killed had a brother who maybe thought you'd got off easy.
David Quinn hasn't any brothers. I found that out.
Well, anyway, that's what happened. Now you know about it. You can do what you like.
The way he treated me, I didn't care what happened to George Kirby. But whether I cared or not, I was to be there when it did happen. And because I was there, I found myself giving evidence before a coroner's jury. A jury inquiring into the death of George Kirby.
Now, Mr. Mason, will you tell us what you saw on the night in question?
Well, I was driving from Bainville to Bowdoin. I guess I left Bainville about 11 p.m.
Did you see the Kirby car?
Well, there was a car ahead of me. I could see its taillights. But I didn't know then whose it was.
Yes, go on.
As a matter of fact, it passed me. I could see it for a while, and then it went around a curve, and I lost sight of it.
But when did you see it again?
A few minutes later. I came around a curve myself, and there was this car picking up a hitchhiker. Before I caught up to it, it was on its way again.
You're certain that someone got into the car?
Yes, quite certain.
In fact, you will swear to it?
Well, I... Yes, I will.
Is there some doubt in your mind?
No, someone did get into that car.
I see. And then what happened?
It drew ahead of me again. Then I came to the place in the road they called the Gap, and there was a car piled up against a rock on the south side.
The car you've been telling us about?
Yes.
When you say it was piled up against a rock, is there not a sort of cliff at that point with guardrails protecting motorists?
Yes, although there are a couple of places where there are big rocks.
You mean the guardrail runs a certain distance, and then there is a rock, and then the guardrail continues past it?
That's right.
And this car was piled up against one of these rocks?
Yes.
What did you do?
Well, I stopped and ran over to the car. It must have turned over at least once. The top was all smashed in, and so was the front. Kirby was behind the wheel. He seemed to be crushed, and there was another man in the back who didn't seem too badly hurt.
That was Samuel Henderson.
Yes, I got him out of the car. Then I tried to get at Kirby, but I couldn't move him. So all I could do was watch for a car passing, which I did. I flagged it and sent Henderson down to Bowdoin for the police and some kind of a tow truck.
And you waited there until they came?
Yes.
Was there anyone in the front passenger seat of the Kirby car?
No.
Are you quite certain?
Quite certain, then there couldn't have been.
Why do you say that?
Well, because the front was so badly crushed, he would still have been there.
But you told us a moment ago that you saw the Kirby car stop and pick up a hitchhiker. Do you still say that?
Yes.
Then how do you account for the fact that there was no one else in the car when you found it?
I can't account for it. Maybe he was in the back seat and got out before I arrived.
Perhaps. We shall see about that. I may wish to examine you further on this point. You may step down now. Mr. Henderson, you were riding with George Kirby on this trip?
Yes, sir.
Will you tell us what happened after you left Bainville?
Well, I was dozing in the back seat. We take turns driving. I was asleep, I guess, till something woke me up.
What was that?
The car stopping. I sort of opened my eyes and saw George lean over and open the other front door, and a man got in.
No doubt about that.
None at all. I didn't see him very clearly. I didn't really want to wake up. I was tired.
Did you, in fact, stay awake?
More or less. George was talking to this hitchhiker, but the man said almost nothing. That is, until just before the accident.
What did he say then?
He said, you are George Kirby. And George said, yes. Then the man said, you killed David Quinn. That woke me up.
David Quinn was the man Kirby had killed in an accident some months before?
That's right, sir. I was startled. George looked at him and said, so what? Then the man said, I've been waiting for you. George started to say something, and then suddenly the man said, look out, there's someone ahead. And he seemed to reach over and grab the wheel. The car swerved, and we crashed. I don't remember much else till Mr. Mason pulled me out.
Mr. Henderson, you realize that all you have told us is on oath.
I realize that. It's true, every word of it.
Was there any person sitting beside George Kirby in the front seat when you recovered consciousness?
No.
Yet you insist that there was someone there till the moment of the crash.
I do. I have said that on my oath, and it's true.
How do you account for the fact that there was no one there afterwards?
I can't account for it. I only know that's how it was.
Very well. You may step down, but do not leave the court. You are a trooper with state police?
Yes, sir, I am.
I understand you were called to the scene of the accident in question between 11 and 12 at night.
Yes, sir.
What did you find on arrival?
I found the Kirby car piled against a rock on the south side of the road. It had hit the guardrail and bounced off it and then turned over. Mr. Mason was waiting for me. I found George Kirby pinned behind the steering wheel, apparently unconscious. I had brought up a truck from the police garage, and we had to use tools to get the door off on the driver's side so we could get Kirby out.
How badly was he injured?
He was dead when we got him out.
What did you do then?
I took a statement from Mason, and then I went back and examined the marks of the car on the road. I saw that it had apparently swerved right over to the guardrail.
How do you come to that conclusion?
By the skid marks. Kirby must have applied the brakes, and they left marks.
Did you examine carefully the front of the car and the roof?
Yes, sir. The whole front and top had been smashed.
In your opinion, if anyone had been riding in the front passenger seat, could he have gotten out?
He could not. I will swear to that.
You have heard the evidence of Mr. Mason and Mr. Henderson to the effect that Kirby did pick up a passenger.
Yes, sir. All I can say is he must have got out before the crash.
But Mr. Henderson says he did not.
I don't know about that, but I will swear that no person was in that front seat at the time of the crash. It couldn't be.
They had Henderson and me back on the stand, and they made monkeys out of us. It wasn't so bad for me. A hitchhiker could have got out of that car without my seeing him. But Henderson wouldn't budge an inch from his story. In the end, we both slunk out of the inquest with everyone convinced we'd both committed perjury. Henderson took me over to the hotel to have a drink in his room. I sure needed it.
Who was he, Mason? Who was he?
You know, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I know, and yet...
And yet it couldn't have been. You imagined it. And I imagined I gave him a lift 3 or 4 weeks back. I imagined he said he was going to kill George Kirby. And Chuck Reynolds imagined he gave him a lift, too. I imagined him. And I'll never forget him.
Neither will I. Neither will I, because he...
Oh, don't say it, Henderson. After all, we don't believe in ghosts, do we?
I believe in what I see, Mason.
Then you didn't see anything. Mind if I help myself? I need it.
Now, please go ahead.
Thanks.
There's just one other thing I didn't tell him at the inquest.
What was that?
where the hitchhiker grabbed the wheel and swerved the car.
Well?
It was precisely at the spot where David Quinn was killed.
The Hitchhiker by Alan King was item 3 in a 4-part series of Tales of the Supernatural, written for and presented by The Mystery Theater, with John Vernon as Sam Henderson, Cece Linder as George Kirby, Frank Perry as Larry Mason, and Hugh Watson as Old Quinn. Beth Lockerbie was heard as Biddy, Tom Harvey as Chuck, Jack Creeley as the coroner, and Alan DeRamis as the state trooper. Sound effects were by Alex Sheridan. Technical operation by John Skillen. This is Bill Lawrence speaking.